The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app. It's The Golf Show with Brian Katrick.
He's been the talk of the course today with his huge drives.
You know, here's a guy.
It's early Sunday morning. The sun is coming up.
You heard the laughter of Chris Mascaro. So why do you love Liv so much?
I reach across and slap him.
We fired J.R. Ross. This court case doesn't matter.
I didn't feel the need to acknowledge it.
This guy can roll his rock.
Big match coming up. I'm going to be needing a caddy.
What am I going to do?
Why don't you try him a little left? And why don't you try backing up? Give me just a little room.
Help me keep my head down.
You have circled an area of interest.
Oh, no, that's not right.
Golf requires goofy pants and a fat ass.
I'd be expecting a lawsuit.
You know, you don't deserve any credit hitting the ball with that swing of yours. Try to hit one with my swing.
I'm catching on the ball, right? Yeah. Moving my head. Yeah. I'm laying it off. Well, that too. I'm pronating. When you're not supinating.
I'm clearing too early.
My God, my swing felt like an unfolded lawn chair.
Set right up, folks. See if you can outdrive the amazing golf ball.
Keep my head down.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole.
Save me.
This is a waste of everybody's time.
Gunga Galunga. Chris Mascaro filling in as host this week. Brian got a call in the wee hours of the morning from Rivermont today. A band of turtles had actually formed. They heard he was anti-turtle, so they were out there attacking his statue. There are pieces of bronze flying everywhere. He's off trying to fight them off. We hope to hear from BK later in the show to hear how he's making out. But this morning, I've got J.R. Ross from Team Ross Golf on the other side of the table with me. Good morning, J.R.
Good morning. Good morning, Chris. That's a fine opening. That's a fine opening right there. Yeah, I heard the turtles, you know, all this wet weather we had on Friday, and they're all out. They're all out of the water now because
right.
They can get water. And then they saw the statue.
Statue.
Thank you. Lost a word there. They saw his statue, and they went right for it.
Yeah, why wouldn't you, right? You hear he's anti-total, but coming for you as soon as we get the opportunity, and they got it.
Absolutely.
We've got Adam Crooks back on the other side of the glass because he remembered that golf pays the bills and racing costs money. How are you, Adam?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
Actually, it didn't cost me any money to go to the race last week.
He was on dad's scholarship still?
No.
No.
No. I was on the racetrack scholarship.
Okay.
Look at you. So how'd you make out? Did your driver win?
No. He did not.
Yeah.
BK it was close, said, though.
BK said his drivers didn't win either, but they were in it all day, so he felt better about that. At least they gave him a chance. Gave him a rooting interest all race long.
Yeah. Who won? My son was there, and he's not a race guy, but he loved it. But who? I don't even know who
Daniel
won.
Suarez.
Was that kind of like a dark horse, or was that?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Good for him.
Okay.
Well, with BK not being here, of course, what are we going to start off talking about? We're going to start off talking about Liv. That's what
Yay,
we do.
The better tour.
That's right. There you go, Adam. You get credit right off the top.
The Liv.
We talked last week about the return of Anthony Kim. JR, it's been 11 years since we got to see AK playing in a tour event. I wasn't sure the news was real, right? We've heard rumors throughout the years, right, over the last decade about why he left and his insurance policy. Was that taken out? Did he have to give the money back if he was going to go out there and play anymore? And since he took it, you know, what was happening with him not being there, not being around? No one saw him. It was sort of like sightings of Bigfoot, if you heard about Anthony Kim's sighting.
Correct.
But now we got him back, and he's actually out there playing golf. What did you think about what you saw?
I think I probably saw about what I expected. I mean, what did he shoot? 276s and a 74 on the final round.
That's right.
And I think they tried to sell that final round as, well, he's making progress. Well, you know what? That's, to me, he's not making progress. He shot two strokes better. But, you know, we commented on it briefly. I just think it's really, really hard to take as much time as he took off. And, again, we don't know if he was playing, what he was doing, but I'm sure he was playing golf. He just wasn't playing competitive golf. And I think it's hard to take time off at that level and feel that you can go out and compete in any sport, but especially in an individual sport. I mean, because you are you're it. You know, your poor play can be masked. I mean, an offensive tackle can miss six weeks, maybe a year, and come back. He's still got the guard next to him, and he's got guys picking him up. There ain't nobody picking you up in golf. If you're missing putts, it's on you. And
it's a lonely place.
Yeah, and I mean, in playing tournament golf is not the same as playing golf with your buddies. I don't care how much money you're playing for. Tiger would be the first one to tell you that. You know, you got to get out and get under the gun and play and compete. Tournament golf is so different. I mean, I always said everybody has a dry swing or a practice swing. You have a driving range swing. You have a golf course swing. And then you have an under the gun swing. And in my opinion, the two guys under the gun swings that were better than any of their other swings were Tiger and Jack, because they knew how to perform under. They liked the under the gun swing better, and perform better, as we all know. But yeah, I mean, so him to go out there and just think, well, I'm going to waltz back out there, and anybody else thinks that, it's taking time off from injury or family problems or work situations, it's not the same in this game when you go back.
Yeah, so let's take that a half a step further, right? To your point, there is a difference between playing golf, and Bobby Jones talked about this, right, way back when. There's a difference between playing golf, playing tournament golf, and then playing tour-level golf.
Correct.
All of those are very different.
Not even in the same league.
Yeah. So, and it's funny because, you know, with Anthony Kim coming back and Twitter all abuzz, or X, whatever we're calling that thing nowadays, you know, people were, all, you know, debating about, hey, I'm a scratch golfer. I'm a plus one or plus two. I could go out there and play on the LIV Tour. I could go out there and play on the PGA Tour.
Well, I'm going to give you a little insight on that one. I was probably 16, 17 playing high school golf, and I could play a little bit. And my uncle, who played 4 years at Ohio State and could play a lot of bit, and he's out there on the driving range with me watching me hit balls. And in my mind, I was hitting it really well. And he just looked at me and very, very dry Italian uncle way, looked at me and said, that might work here. He said, that ain't going to work under pressure. He said, you think that's good out here, and it might be. He says, let me see you make that move at the ball under pressure. It's not going to respond. And it's the same thing on a tour. I mean, they're out there. It's not the same game. Everybody that knows, you know, you made the perfect example. I love it. You know, when you got the guys that are members at the club that, you know, they're plus ones or plus twos, and, you know, if you're not even entertaining the thought of shooting 67 or 68 every time you tee it up at your club, you got no chance. None.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah.
I mean, and even then, you probably don't have a great chance. It's just that hard out there.
Well, as we know, right, they're not keeping handicaps out on the PGA Tour, right? So
no. But surprisingly enough, a lot of tour players do keep a handicap at a club if they're a member at, and they're like plus sixes and sevens.
That's exactly. Yeah. That's my point. Those guys are plus six, seven, eight.
Yes. Right? And they're doing that every course, every week. They're not just doing it at their home course.
That's right. So back to Anthony Kim for a minute. Is this a disaster for him because he finished last, and by a large margin in last? Do we cut him some slack because it has been a long time, because he hasn't been out there and under these conditions? He might have been out playing in Vegas. We don't know, but there's been speculation he's playing money games and all that sort of stuff. And to your point, that has no relation to what it's like to play out on tour. But is this a disaster for him? Because he signed on, from what I've read, to play on the LIV Tour for the rest of the season. Do we say, well, you know, this was the first time out, let's give him a few tournaments, or do you laugh him off the tour?
Well, I think he gets a pass being the first week back. But I mean, again, and you look at it and say, where do we go from here? Well, he can't go anywhere but up. I mean, he can't finish worse than last. So every week, it's next week, the next time he plays, it should be better. It can't be worse. And again, will he get better? Probably. I mean, if he's truly healthy and mentally is there, he'll get better because he's good. I mean, he's proven that he can play. But again, it's the time away from the game, and he is playing, whether you like it or not, Brian, and I'm not a big fan of it either, he is playing against some of the greatest players in the game on the LIV Tour now. I think he'll get better, but I don't think we'll ever see what we could have seen.
Well, he could finish last by more.
That would be worse. You're very good, Adam.
That's two already, Adam.
Very, very good. Yeah, he could finish last by more.
Speaking of what happened to him, on Thursday he put out a video about he was out there in a practice round saying, I've missed the competitive part of the game. I'm here to bust everybody's behind. Didn't do a press conference. But in the video he said he'll tell his story when the time is right. But right now he's focused on golf. So, look, all of our curiosities were piqued. At least we'd look to see what he would do and how he finished, right? So at least there's that. But let's take that a half a step further. Are you rooting for him to play better, or do you not care now? We saw it. It wasn't good. I'm not paying attention anymore.
I'm probably at the I don't really care stage because I don't really – I mean, this is going to chirp you a little bit. I don't really care about the LIV Tour. I mean, I care about the players. I care about the players now. I don't really care about the tour. So I really, will I watch it? Yeah, if there's nothing better on. I mean, if I've seen that episode of Gomer Pyle about 27 times, I might watch the LIV Tour. No, I mean, I'll watch it, but no, I don't really care.
Yeah.
It doesn't move my needle. Does it move yours?
I don't know, a little bit. Look, it did pique my curiosity, right? I wanted to see what he would do. And, you know, we saw some videos prior, you know, in the practice round of him hitting, you know, shots hither and yon and asking for a mulligan and that sort of thing.
So if he comes out the next two events and finishes last place, where's your interest level at that point?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, I'm rooting for the guy. I don't know what his backstory is for what happened. And I'm sort of curious to understand it and, you know,
confirm the rumors. He's not a bad guy.
No, I mean, he's a dad girl and all that sort of stuff. I'm a dad girl.
Yeah.
I'm a girl dad.
You're a dad girl?
you got to be careful in today's world, Adam, how you approach that comment.
I'm a girl dad, and so is he. So, it would be a good resurrection story.
Yeah, it would. Right?
And so I'm rooting for that story.
Sure.
I'd
love to see him do well. I don't dislike him.
So, Adam, is Anthony Kim now your new favorite golfer?
No, it's still Danny Willett.
What is Danny Willett's injury status now?
He had surgery on his shoulder back in September.
Oh, you got something in common,
JR.
Bad shoulder. Right?
Hopefully he's going to play in the Masters, although we're not 100% sure whether he's going to make a guess.
So do you not care about the Masters? If it goes off, no, there's no Danny Willett. I don't care.
Yeah. I think CBS doesn't care either.
There's no Danny Willett, no Louis Oosthuizen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, crowds, right? You were talking before, crowds.
If you lose Danny Willett in the Masters, you probably lose a lot.
Yeah.
Ticket scalping of tickets just went down.
It really did. If that announcement comes out, you can get those tickets cheap now. All right, so let's talk a little bit about what else is going on. Rory McIlroy speaking at his press conference this week, and he was asked about comments that his former manager, Chubby Chandler, made regarding Rory's change of heart on LIV and rumors that Rory might go over there. Now, Chubby said he doesn't need the $750 million or whatever they paid John Rahm, but it's odd what Rory's done and where that possibility could go because, you know, whether he does it or not, and Chubby said, like, I don't know, right? But if Rahm can do it, most guys can do it. Then he said, I think, number one, there's a 10% possibility of him favoring going over to LIV. So first he said, I think there's a good possibility. Then he came back that down to a 10% possibility of Rory going over to LIV. And when Rory was asked about those comments, you know, he talked about how, well, you know, it's probably somewhere in between 10% and a really good chance, which to me, JR,
that's about 55%, right? If I look at in between.
Exactly. So that to me says, you know, and he went on to say, look, Chubby and I spent some time together over in the Middle East earlier this year. So maybe Chubby knows something.
I think there's obviously legitimacy to that. And I personally think that, with everything that's gone on, I mean, some of these guys feel like nobody's dealing from the top of the deck. And I don't blame one side or the other. But sometimes you got to force somebody's hand. And if all these guys start defecting, and I think the money is on the other side to allow them to all defect, What does that tour turn the tour into?
Right.
And as far as for sponsorships, I mean, the money's going to be there because it's already committed. But if nobody's watching it, eventually, you know how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, to me, all this other stuff, whatever. What I thought it was interesting is Rory didn't come out with an emphatic, you know, oh, right. Chubby doesn't know what he's talking about, right. Or there's no way I would go, or any of that sort. I expected the impassioned denial.
But
and
I think
not
that's
that
part
that
of,
means anything, because think, everybody's
sure,
done that.
But I think that's part of him maybe playing the game and posturing for,
that's
some,
what
for,
I wonder.
For something to happen, saying, okay, you know what? I'm just going to throw it out there that, you know, you don't have me in your back pocket forever. And if you don't do something here pretty soon to make something happen, well, you know, maybe you might lose me.
That's right.
You know, and I think there's a couple guys that will never leave. I don't. Tiger's not going to leave. We know that. I don't think Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth leave either. I think their commitment is very strong. Not that Rory's isn't, because Rory went through a lot. But I just think, you know, Victor Hovland's obviously a big target that they could go get him. You know, nobody talks about, and he doesn't, he's not, doesn't move the needle that much, but, you know, Ricky Fowler, you know, that's a name that you don't see him leaving. Tony Finau, I mean, again, he doesn't move the needle a whole lot, but it's still, he's a feather in the PGA Tour's cap at this point.
Sure, well,
a
I mean,
name.
Right. I mean, you can't have all your players start going over there, right?
Right?
And I think back to what you said a moment ago. I think this is Rory posturing. Like, look, I'm going to leave it out there that maybe, in, you know, if you don't start doing the things that I want, you know, want to do, and speaking of things that he wants to do, and we touched on this a little bit last week, but he has talked about how the tour needs to be global and
right.
something along the lines of the Premier League, like we see over in soccer, where you've got sort of a tiered system where you've got the best of the best at the top, and you've got to play well to stay there. And if you don't play really well, you get relegated down to a lower level league,
right.
whether that's the DP World Tour or the Asian Tour or the Corn Ferry Tour, whatever.
Sure.
But he's got a vision for this kind of tiered process. And if you're not going to follow that and you're not going to listen to me and we're not going to make this a world golf league and this is just an American tour, maybe Rory is kind of planting the seed that,
sure.
you know what, unless you start doing some things like that, sure. I'm out.
And I think that plan is a good one. I mean, I like
do
that.
You?
I do, you know, because I personally, the guys, if I don't think the PGA Tour can ever be what the PGA Tour was before LIV. You know, Brian would argue that. And, you know, I just don't know how all these guys come waltzing back in that left. And, you know, even if you give them these other guys money, you don't know who to give how much or what. You don't know how to make that. It just doesn't.
How to make people whole?
Yeah, that doesn't work. So, but now if you put together a whole new entity that they all feed into, now, you know, now you don't have to pay anybody back because you can't look at Brooks Koepka and say, well, you know what? You're coming back to the PGA Tour, because you're not. You're playing for something else. You still play in this area, but it all feeds into, like you said, the top.
Yeah.
And I just don't see how it can be formed to move forward without something like that happening. Because again, I don't see these guys playing on the PGA Tour ever again.
Well, I mean, let's talk about, you know, how do you make guys whole, right? Well, I think that's why the Strategic Sports Group came along,
right.
and Arthur Blank and all these guys with their initial investment of $1.5 billion, right? It's not like we're going to have the Strategic Sports
sure.
Group open or invitational,
right.
or right? They're not coming right. in to step in for sponsors
Great
that
point.
Have
right.
that have left. I think they're trying to come in, and the tour is trying to take that money and say, hey, you didn't take the 300, 400, whatever X number of millions of dollars. Here's some money for you, Jordan Spieth. Here's some money for you, Justin Thomas. Here's some, right? It's kind of dull it
but
out.
But then do
that
you
way.
Think at that point, then you can say to these other guys, okay, all right, now come on back
yeah.
and we all play on the PGA Tour again?
I think so. I mean, you know, look, Justin Thomas has talked about how, you know, he thinks there should be some retribution. And look, let's be honest. Brooks Koepka isn't writing a check to anybody to
no.
come get, to come back.
No,
right?
No.
Right?
No. And
I don't,
he's not giving any money back to somebody.
Right. That's not
go
that,
back.
That's never going
to
happen.
No.
Now, whether they would charge that to, you know, the LIV Tour, like, look, you got to give us some more money to put in. I don't know. Right.
That's why I just don't think it can happen that way. I just think it's I just when you start talking about retributions, I just don't think it's how you figure out how it's fair. And that's why I think if you had a new, like you said, a Premier League or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
these guys now, okay, well, you know what? And the PGA Tour could still exist at some level, like you said, like the DP Tour does, the Korn Ferry. I mean, you can still have the – and they you have to qualify to play in these world premier events.
Yeah. But so to that end, right, I mean, by and large, the PGA Tour is an American tour.
Right. Right.
We're not out there playing international events for the most part. Every once in a while, there is one.
Mexico.
But yeah,
or what,
yeah. Like, we have a couple of them,
right.
But it's not.
Right.
But I think that's what, you know, Rory is looking for is like, hey, let's play a handful of tournaments in the U.S. Let's play a couple in Canada. Let's play a whole bunch over in the U.K. and Europe and South Africa and Australia
and all that stuff. And you know what? I think that grows the game. I think it's obviously it grows the brand, which helps. I mean, and you're playing some great golf courses that are in other parts of the country that normally we don't get to see. And, I mean, I'll throw it way back to one of the guys I was proud to call a mentor in some way, and Gene Sarazen. I mean, when they used to have the Shell's Wide World of Golf, Gene was an ambassador to golf around the world. That's why we had the Sarazen World Open, because Gene wanted to recognize that golf was played all over the globe, and he wanted to be recognized that someone had won their national open in the Finland Open or what, wherever they got invited to play in this gathering of champions. And Gene, I think, I mean, he was way ahead of his time, you know, I mean, as far as seeing something like that. There's a guy I'd like to see how he would feel about, you know, what's going on in the game of golf today. Because he was a visionary back in the 50s.
I mean, no doubt.
He grew the game. I mean, he traveled all over the globe with golf. So, I mean, yeah, that's what I see Rory's probably trying to do in some way.
Yeah, you could see that, you know, he would want to take the PGA Tour and make it that sort of global thing because of the partnership with the DP World Tour, and we've already got a Korn Ferry Tour.
Sure.
Those become the feeder leagues, and that's how it works.
Right.
But you can bet Yasser Al-Rumayyan's in his ear about, let's do this with LIV.
Of course.
Yeah, so.
Oh, yeah, that's not going away.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Drew Braswell. He is the director of the Georgia State Golf Association Foundation, plus the Georgia Golf Hall of Fame. This is The Golf Show on 680 The Fan and 93.7. We are back here on The Golf Show on 680 The Fan and 93.7 FM, and now joining us is Drew Braswell. Drew is the director of the Georgia State Golf Association Foundation and the Georgia Golf Hall of Fame. Drew, thanks for coming on the program.
Yes, sir. It's my pleasure, Brian. Good to be here with you this morning.
So, Drew, I know you've got a new inductee class coming up for the Georgia State Golf Hall of Fame. Talk about the event and when it is.
Yes, sir. So we did just select at the end of last year our four new inductees for the 2024 class of the Georgia Golf Hall of Fame. The event itself takes place at the Atlanta Athletic Club, and this year it's going to be on March 23rd. And that is a Saturday. And again, that's at Atlanta Athletic Club in Johns Creek. All are welcome if you have a ticket. So I would encourage you to go on our website, www.gsga.org, and purchase yourself a ticket. And we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the nomination process and what goes in to, you know, becoming an inductee. And then obviously go in and tell us about the inductees that are going in and some of the accomplishments.
Sure. So the nomination process is fairly simple. Anyone can nominate anyone. We have a form on our website that you can go on and complete and submit. You can also print it out and mail it into the office. Either way, once we receive a nomination form, it stays active for 10 years. And I will encourage people, because we hear this a lot, don't assume that someone's been nominated just because they're a big name in the golf community in Georgia. If they're not nominated, they can't be elected into the class. So don't just assume that they're already nominated. I will say that.
What are some of the things that you're seeing as accomplishments in the game of golf that would, you know, propose someone to be nominated?
Oh, gracious. So we have a really strong senior. And I don't want to limit it to this, but we have a really strong senior golf movement here in Georgia. We've got several seniors that have already been inducted. One of the inductees this year is Bob Royak. And, I mean, he's tearing it up on the senior amateur world. And just to kind of give you a brief bio of him, Bob was born in New York. Grew up playing golf. Won the New York State Boys Junior Am as a young man, and then he moved to Florida, where he went to the University of Tampa, joined the golf team. He earned All-American Third Team honors in 1982, but we really didn't see his golf game kind of elevate until he hit the senior golf. I mean, he was always competitive. He was always good. But once he hit senior golf, it was like something else just clicked for him. And just to give you a rundown, just a quick rundown of some of the things he's won. He's won a Georgia Senior Championship. He's won two Georgia Senior Match Plays. Two Georgia Senior Championships, a Georgia Senior Match Play, four Georgia Senior Four Ball Championships. He's won a Georgia Mid-Am. He has qualified for and competed in 16 USGA national championships. And then the highlight was in 2019, where he won the U.S. Senior Amateur that took place in North Carolina. So just kind of a quick rundown of his resume. He's even with that resume, he's got competition to get into the Hall of Fame. I mean, so we're seeing it from a player's perspective. We're seeing it from a contributor perspective. Where the goal is to make a name and impact the game of golf in Georgia. And our goal, as your goal is, Brian, is just to increase the game, is to move the game along and make it more accessible to everyone in Georgia. So
if you can nominate anybody, can we nominate BK to get into the Hall? Because, I mean, the guy's got a statue at Rivermont. I mean, it seems like next thing left for him to get in is the Hall of Fame.
He's probably
I'll tell
already
you this,
in.
You can probably nominate him, but we have a committee that's gonna select who actually gets in. So I'm not saying BK's not qualified, but I'll leave that up to the committee.
Drew, talk about the foundation, because you've got some great things going on there as well.
That's right. So we just on Friday closed our window for applications for the 24-25 academic year. Just to give you a quick number, a lot of people don't realize what we as a foundation do for students in Georgia. So as a benefit to our member clubs here in Georgia, we offer this what's called the Yates Scholarship. And this is available for anyone who works at a member club or their dependents. And so they could work in the kitchen, they could work on the range. I mean, anywhere. They could work at the golf cart or the golf bags, you know, anywhere within the club, they're eligible. And so for this past year, for the 23-24 school year, we handed out 66 Yates scholarships.
Wow.
And the total amount given for that year was just over $315,000.
Wow.
That's very good.
That is very impressive.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're doing a lot. We as a foundation, we have the mantra of we raise money to give money, right? And so that's our goal, is just to impact people that work at our member clubs and their dependents that may not otherwise have an opportunity to go to the college that they want to.
Drew, I don't want to let you go before we talk about some of the other inductees. You did a great job of talking about Bob Royak, but you've got three other players that are headed into this year's Hall of Fame class. Give us a little bit on those other three.
Yes, sir. So one of our other ones is John Gehring. John was born in Cincinnati, Ohio. He currently resides in Greenville, South Carolina. And John is one of the most humble guys I've ever met. He told me just the other day, Brian, that he said, Drew, not only am I having trouble finding it uncomfortable to ask people to buy a ticket to this event to come celebrate me, I'm still trying to figure out how I'm worthy of this nomination. But and I'm about to tell you one of the reasons he's worthy. So he went to Wake Forest, and he played on the team, and he was mentored by this guy you may have heard of named Arnold Palmer.
Sounds familiar.
I've heard that name.
Yeah.
Lemonade, nice tea.
right. One of those things.
Yeah.
And after Wake, he went joined the U.S. Army, and then after his stint in the Army, that's when he began his career in golf. He worked at the head pro at Atlanta Country Club, at Sea Island, at Peachtree. But he really made a name for himself when it came to teaching. And he worked through the course of his life. He's worked with so many touring pros, In 1977, he became the 13th member of the PGA of America to earn master professional status. And that's the highest honor bestowed upon any PGA professional. In 1981, he won PGA Golf Professional of the Year. And he is currently a member in three Halls of Fame, and that's the PGA of America National Hall of Fame, Carolina's Golf Hall of Fame, and the Wake Forest University Sports Hall of Fame. So just a quick glimpse into the world of John Gehring, and you'll see quickly why he is eligible and worthy of induction into the Georgia Golf Hall of Fame. Next, we have Cindy Schreier. Cindy was born in Forest Park, so she's right here in Georgia. She currently lives in St. Petersburg, Florida. She started playing golf around 15, which is impressive because she quickly won, like right after starting, won the inaugural Georgia Girls Championship in 1980. She won the Greater Atlanta Women's Amateur Championship every year from 81 to 85. She earned a scholarship to the University of Georgia. She won the 1984 NCAA Individual Championship and the 1986 U.S. Women's Amateur Pub Links Championship. So many other wins that she accomplished or that she achieved at the UGA. She played on the LPGA for 16 years. She got 23 top 10 finishes and one win. And in 2003, she was inducted into the University of Georgia's Circle of Honor. And so just a quick glimpse at her accomplishments. And then our fourth inductee is the late Carl Selden. Carl was born in Atlanta. He played golf and basketball at Clark College. He was captain of the golf team all 4 years he played. He went and joined the Army. And after getting out of the Army, he made history by becoming the first African-American to join the PGA in Georgia. And then he went on to win several events on some of the African-American tours. Professionally, he was a PGA head pro at the City of Atlanta golf courses. So places like John A. White, he was really involved with First Tee. He was really involved with what was called Hook a Kid on golf. So he made his stamp on golf in the world of juniors, in the world of the youth. And he was really an ambassador for the game when it came to getting Atlanta's youth involved. He kind of introduced them, introduced them to the game and then got them loving the game. And you know, I mean, just as well as I do and a lot of your listeners, Brian, that golf is so much more than just the game. It's an opportunity for youth to learn about life, to learn all these different aspects of integrity and how to be a young man and how to navigate the world. And so in 1990, in recognition of all that he had done for the game of golf, he was inducted into the National Black Golf Hall of Fame. Excuse me, the National Black Golf Hall of Fame. And unfortunately, he passed away in 2020, but he left such an amazing legacy on the game of golf, specifically, again, with the youth in the Atlanta area. So that's one of the reasons that Carl Selden is so worthy of this honor as well. So that's just a quick glimpse of the four inductees that we have. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great night on March 23rd. We really roll out the red carpet for these people and their families and all that's involved. If you're at all interested, I would encourage you. Tickets are $150. And again, you can get them on our website, and that's www.gsga.org. We'd love to see you there.
Fantastic stuff, Drew. I tell you what, it's going to be a great night. I'm sure you will roll out the red carpet for these four inductees, three obviously with Carl passing away, but I'm sure his family and friends will come out in numbers to celebrate what a wonderful career he had as well. So fantastic stuff, Drew. Can't thank you enough for stopping by and being a part of the show this morning and giving us the update. Look forward to catching up with you guys again soon.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Brian.
Take care, Drew. That is Drew Braswell. Again, gsga.org is where you can go to get those tickets. Carl Selden, oh, by the way, was also awarded Outstanding Citizen by Lewis Massey, then Georgia Secretary of State. So he's, you know, his impact on the game of golf in this area and just, you know, probably just in general was huge, JR.
No question about it. And, no doubt, and the accomplishments speak for themselves. Mr. Gehring, You know, they spoke about. I had the pleasure of getting to know him a little bit.
Is that
bit.
Right?
Yeah, when he was at Sea Island, because, you know, back in the 90s, I played the section championship all the time. We played at Sea Island, and, you know, it was amazing that no matter, you might see him once or twice a year, he always remembered your name. He'd always make time to come over and say hello to you. Just, I mean, just a class act. I mean, yeah, his another one whose resume just is incredible. But, yeah, I had the pleasure of knowing him and interacting with him, and I couldn't say anything higher about him than, you know, the honor that he's getting is quite definitely.
Yeah, he's in more Hall of Fames than you can shake a stick at. Wake Forest Sports Hall of Fame, the PGA of America Hall of Fame, the Carolinas Golf Association Hall of Fame. Like Drew mentioned, National PGA Professional of the Year back in 1981 and all over this.
It's just a real gentleman. I mean, you know, that's if somebody asked me about him, what I'd say, gentleman. I mean, he just personified what you would hope to see in a PGA professional, but a father and a husband, and he was that kind of persona. I mean, he just, yeah, definitely.
Speaking on, let's take a go in a different direction. Speaking of the PGA of America, got to get your two cents because your organization has come out with a new logo that's kind of got me scratching my head a little bit from where they went to where they are. What are your thoughts?
I just don't understand it. I mean, it's basically, I mean, I like the one circle. And I don't like the new slogan, really, per se. We love this game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's not high on my list. I just thought the other one was so recognizable. This one here just looks like it basically says the same thing, other than it doesn't have the Professional Golfers Association on it. And it just kind of, to me, this one blends in. I guess that's what I don't like about it. The other one stood out.
Yeah. To your point, the new logo just seems like just someone went out and created a logo on a software that
you had
your 12-year-old do that and came back with this thing. And it used to have a nice, kind of like a seal, kind of thing, and a nice circle, to your point, that circle. And even as you and your peers had achievements, stars would come out. One star, two star, whatever, right? And I just thought that was nice and a recognition that, hey, I'm a – two-star person because I've, gotten certified in this, that, and the other thing. And this is just kind of plain. I mean, they talked about how, the PGA Tour out there, they play for millions. I think we teach millions or we bring millions to the game. And they were looking to differentiate. I don't know if it was differentiate or distance, one of those D words, from what the PGA Tour is doing. And so they came out with this new logo.
Yeah, I think differentiate was the word. I mean, Chris, it blends in. It doesn't.
Yes. There's nothing nice about it.
Yeah, the other one jumped out. You know, when you saw that circle with the gold in there and the whole thing, you knew what that was. This here looks like it could be, any country club's logo, and I'm not downplaying a country club's logo. I mean, but the other one to me, I'll tell you what the other one to me looked like. It was as recognizable as the PGA Tour logo is, as the Augusta National logo is. I would put this one in those, as far as in golf, I would put those in those three.
Yeah.
It's recognizable logos. I mean, if you think about a recognizable golf logo, what's the first one that comes to your mind?
Yeah, the first one comes to my mind is Augusta National.
Mine as well, obviously. And that, as my wife would tell you, with 100 pieces of clothing that I have to have the logo on it. But the PGA Tour and the shield that I wear. I can't think of another country club's logo that just stands out that you recognize. I mean, there's a lot of good ones out there, of course.
For sure.
But, I'm not a fan.
To me, the difference is the old logo was one you would wear with pride.
Right.
Because it just oozes that because it is kind of like a seal. But this one, you're just like,
Yeah.
I don't put that on feeling, put my shoulders back, hold my head up, and feel better about myself as much as I would have with the old one.
It would be like the NFL changing the shield or NBA taking Jerry West off of their logo. In the MLB, is that Ted Williams? It can't be Ted Williams because it's not a left-handed batter.
Right. Yeah. I don't know who that is. I mean, I knew Jerry West is the NBA. Right. I'm not sure
it's certainly a recognizable logo.
Probably Joe D, actually.
It could be Joe DiMaggio. Yeah. I mean, so those logos to me you see them, you know what it is automatically. This thing here looks like it could be any private club in the world.
That's right. All right, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we'll talk about what's going on that other tour at the Cognizant Classic, formerly the Honda Classic. They got a great leaderboard going into Sunday. Shane Lowry at the top of that thing, so you know he's looking to party all night with another trophy. So it's going to be a great round, and perhaps news on BK about how the fight is going out there at Rivermont with the Turtles. We hope to hear about that when we come back. This is the Golf Show on 680 The Fan and 93.7.
Before you hit the links, start your morning with a Golf Show presented by Cliggy's Cards and playthegolfisland.com. Now back to Brian Katrick on Atlanta's Golf Station, The Fan.
Welcome back to the Golf Show on 680 The Fan and 93.7. I hear rumors that we've had a BK sighting out there taking care of his statue. Do we have him?
Brian, I'm glad to be on the show with you. It's awesome to be here.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it? I feel like I'm sitting in studio with Brian today.
Yes. Well, you know, that's a good day when you do that.
That's true.
Hey, look, there are worse things I've been called over the course of my life, so.
Well, you're very kind. You handled it very well, and I appreciate the nomination for the Georgia Golf Hall of Fame. Can you imagine? See, Chris, you and I haven't played golf yet, but JR and I have. Can you imagine how big my ego would be when I'm on the first tee and we're trying to figure out who's going next and what groups are going to play through, and I'm in the Georgia Golf Hall of Fame? That's not going to be good for me.
No, that would be a tough one to take.
I think you're always in the first group, right? If there's ever any question who's teeing off first. The Georgia Golf Hall of Famer gets the tee.
See, you get it. You understand it. And I don't know that it sounds really good now, but I think in reality, I feel like I will abuse that privilege. So I don't know that I should do it.
No, you never work it to your advantage. Come on, not you.
I mean, can you make – I would be wondering right now, can I custom order, like, a crown?
Yeah.
And then – I mean, it comes with a crown, right? You have a crown, don't you?
I don't think I've ever told you this, but the best one you ever pulled was, I think, 2 years ago in the member, and you and Terrell won the championship flight, and then we had our little shootout to see the overall champ, and you and Terrell are teeing it up, and you actually took the plaque that you got for winning the flight. And he's sitting it on the tee box on every hole as he's teeing off. And I'm sitting there. I said, wow, this is a first. I've never seen this. Right next to the tee marker, he puts the plaque that he already won for winning the flight.
Yeah. Draw it back if you can.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, look, we won the scratch division. People needed to be reminded of that.
That's right. You didn't play in no fiction division. You won the real thing.
Right. If I could have had it mounted as a championship belt, I would have.
And I think that's where you got to go. Once you're in the Georgia State Hall of Fame, I mean, I think you got to have that on a belt buckle, and you get the BK belt buckle, like the AK belt buckle.
The tattoo.
You got a real big one.
The tattoo.
Yeah, without a doubt.
The neck tattoo, probably.
I don't know about that. I don't know. That's not a good look on BK.
Yeah, but it's visible.
It's very possible that we've gotten a slight bit ahead of ourselves.
Hey, you
anyone
never know.
Can get nominated. You heard it here. Anyone can be nominated.
Right.
I think that's what JR and I have to figure out over the next couple of months.
We're already working on it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. definitely well earned, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, on the PGA logo, they took away the circle.
I know.
It's the same logo.
I know. Well,
the keys there.
They did, but they also took away where it says Professional Golfers Association, too. That's the only thing. You're right, Brian. It looks like it could be an XYZ country club down the road in Brazelton.
It's the same logo. And by the way,
it doesn't have the same appeal, eye appeal. It doesn't have the same curb appeal.
Yes. I think
it's not circled.
Right. It doesn't have the circle. It doesn't have the color and the gold and all that sort. It doesn't look like a seal anymore. It doesn't look like something that I would want, hold up with pride as what I am. And now it's just sort of like, here you go. PGA of America, that's nice.
I did like the gold. I'll give you that. I did like the gold. But if they did the logo in gold, all it's missing is a circle.
Right.
But the circle is a big thing. If you took the NFL, the shield, and took the shield off and just had the NFL on there. Yeah. Would it have the
like
same
you mean
appeal?
Like that's what they have on the footballs. At least that's what they used to have on the footballs.
But that's not on like that now. So, I don't know.
Well,
loses a little cachet. That's the yeah. bottom line. Loses a little.
By the way, you're in Houston. What's going on there?
It was Austin.
Texas, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all the same.
Yeah.
Which I learned yesterday was 160 miles from Houston.
Okay.
So so Henry went and represented his gym, Ninja Fit, and another American Ninja Warrior competition out there, which he actually won. He was the
there
only one.
That there you go, court. Henry.
Congrats to Henry.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So that's what that was all about, and we couldn't get back any sooner than this. This was the 551 flight out of Austin that got us here. So I just got back into town.
How was the weather out there this weekend?
Oh, it was excellent. And I don't know, I'd never been to Austin before, but you get working through the airport, you try to get out of the airport and onto their little, the first big road. And the first thing we see is this field of gigantic longhorn cows, steers, whatever they are. It's not just, I mean, they put them by the airport.
Right.
It wasn't a gimmick. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, Austin's a pretty cool town. I've driven through there before. It's a pretty cool town, I thought. Definitely.
Adam, what's the ruling on Brian's status here as host of the show? I mean, he wasn't here at the beginning. You know, asterisks are now a big thing between the PGA Tour and the Masters and the show.
I mean, personally, I think I should be named the host of the show.
But you're executive producer.
I can executive produce and be the host.
Wow, look at you. Go and
do it. I haven't done it yet. they just got to stop giving Taylor Gooch the microphone. What are we doing?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
The first time he compares something to a Ryder Cup, which he's never even been to a Ryder Cup, let alone played in a Ryder Cup. He's comparing it to a Ryder Cup. And now the Masters has an asterisk because he's not in the field.
It's
not that the LIV players aren't in the field. It's that he's not in the field.
Well, you know how many fans come to the Masters to watch Taylor Gooch?
Of course
they do. It's more fans than Danny Willett.
Is it more than Danny Willett?
I'm shocked that I have to say this, but it is more fans than Danny Willett.
He kind of sounds Patrick Reed-ish at the moment with some of these comments. You know, that's vintage when Patrick said he could beat Tiger back in the day a long time ago. You know, yeah, Taylor Gooch, where's that coming from?
That was a clown question, bro.
Yeah, totally.
That was.
Totally.
It was a clown answer. And honestly, they've got control of all of their media over there. They should have wiped that. They should never have let that.
Correct.
I guess it was in Australian Golf Digest, but that's a friendly group. They can't let him do that anymore. That was that was bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes no sense.
It is a bad look, but obviously, we saw Joaquin Niemann sort of make a plea to get into the Masters. And he obviously has played well on some of the DP World Tour events that he got to go in there and play and win. So they gave him an exemption to go, or a special invitation, not an exemption, a special invitation to the Masters. I kind of feel like this was sort of a Joaquin Niemann-esque try on Taylor Gooch's part that just went horribly wrong.
Well, maybe Taylor's game ought to become more Joaquin Joaquin-ish, and maybe he would get that invite because he ain't nowhere near Joaquin Niemann's league of a player.
Wow.
No. Nowhere near. Who knows what Joaquin just won. Who knows what this win means? But he beat Taylor Gooch.
Yeah. He certainly did. Wow. Good comment there, BK, about him. Bring that one up. That was terrible. That was just a terrible look for a guy who really nobody probably outside of the game of golf knew. They know him now. maybe the wrong thing, but they know him now.
All right, boys. I hear the song. Thanks for jumping in. I might miss next week, too. Who knows? Because we're going to be doing the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Be a whole lot of fun. No idea if we're going to be on the air at this point or not. But we'll find out.
Coin flip?
Coin flip. It would be a game time decision, but I'll probably know. You and I, Chris and I have already been over this. We'll know Saturday afternoon at some point.
All right. Good luck, BK, and congratulations to Henry again.
Yes, thank you. He had a blast. It was fun watching him.
No doubt. A lot of pride.
See you, boys.
All right, man. Drive safe home.
One more thing before we go. We mentioned we would touch on the tournament this week, right? And we got the Cognizant Classic, the former Honda. We got Shane Lowry.
Yeah.
He's in a three-way tie for the lead. Minwoo Lee, three strokes back. Your thoughts? I mean, look, there's nothing more fun than a Shane Lowry victory.
No question about it. But I mean, and I'm a PGA Tour guy, as everybody out there listens knows. But when I'm looking at that leaderboard right now, I mean, you go down to tied for 11th with Ricky. Everybody else in between, other than maybe, like you said, Minwoo Lee, I mean, the most people that know him are probably the ones they grew up with in their house. I mean, there's not a lot of household names on that leaderboard.
No, Alex Noren, Peter Malnati, no, nothing. You got nothing?
I know who Alex Noren is.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, you've heard of him, but I mean, they're not.
He's Swedish.
What about Kevin Yu? You know Kevin Yu?
No, you're not a big Kevin Yu fan.
Nick Dunlap isn't that far back.
That's right. I was really hoping he was going to make a charge.
I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I've been known to do that in my life.
Charles Cootie's grandson?
Where would this leaderboard be now if there were no Live Tour?
Wow, that's a whole nother story.
Well, that's
Rory's there.
Not playing for that much money.
That's right. There wouldn't be a signature event.
He ain't moving the needle much in the leaderboard this week, though. Cameron, you know, you got...
There'd be no signature events. This isn't one of them, but there wouldn't be any of those if there wasn't a
J.J. Poston's down there at 4-under, tied for 55th.
You think he's going to come from 9 strokes back?
Yeah, probably. No.
Nah, probably not.
If you look at it, I mean... I don't think anybody outside of I can't see anybody better than 9-under, less than 9-under that could win this.
Yeah.
And that's probably not going to happen.
No. I hope Shane Lowry wins because that's a lot of fun and see what the after party is like when he does win. It's fantastic stuff. It's going to be a great Sunday.
Folks,
I hope you enjoy the final round. Thank you for being with us. This is The Golf Show on 680 The Fan and 93.7.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.